Welcome to Servants of the Lord Ministries. My name is Dr. Keith Jenkins. I'm the International Coordinator for Servants of the Lord Ministries. Before I start my message today, let me remind you again of the commission of the ministry that was given to Joseph Hedgecott many years ago. He said, "I have children in every nation, and you have brothers and sisters whose hearts are crying out to me. They've sought me for ministry, blessings, and gifts. I've given them those things, and it's blessed them. But there's a part of their spirit that it never fulfilled, that is reserved for an intimate relationship with me. Now their hearts are crying out to me, just for me. That is who I'm sending you to, because I don't want them to take the years it took you to get to me, because there was no one to show you how at the time." Servants of the Lord Ministries is a teaching and training ministry sent to the body of Christ to reach people with a heart after God. This message is for those who want to get to know Him and grow up in Him. Today I'll be sharing on being awake. Joseph Hedgecott has a series of books called Wake Up, Time is Running Out. Volume 1 is on Foundations of Spiritual Maturity. Volume 2 is on Growing Up Spiritually. Volume 3 is on Spiritual Maturity. These books will help you overcome spiritual immaturity and escape the lust of the flesh. You should have woken up to righteousness when you first came to Christ. Paul said in Acts chapter 17, verses 30 and 31, I'm reading. This is in the book of Acts chapter 17 and verse 30. "In the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commands all men everywhere to repent." Verse 31, "because he has appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he has ordained. Wherefore he has given assurance unto all men in that he has raised him from the dead." The word repent is in Strong's is number 3340. It's from some other words which means to think differently or afterwards. That is to reconsider or morally to feel compunction. Those who have repented will, number one, think differently afterwards. Two, morally feel compunction. Noah Webster in 1828 defined compunction as a pricking stimulation, irritation, seldom used in a literal sense. Also, a pricking of heart, poignant grief or remorse proceeding from a consciousness of guilt, the pain of sorrow or regret for having offended God and incurred his wrath, the sting of conscience proceeding from a conviction of having violated a moral duty. Compunction is the correct emotion to feel when convicted. This should then lead to repentance and the fruit of repentance. Paul was fighting that same pricking, persecuting the church before his conversion. Paul said in the book of Acts, chapter 26, I'm reading verses 14 to 18. This is in the book of Acts, chapter 26, starting in verse 14. "And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me, saying, in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecute me? It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks." Verse 15. "And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting." Verse 16. "But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of things in which I will appear unto thee." Verse 17. "Delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, and unto whom now I send thee." Verse 18. "To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me." This command to repent was first given by John the Baptist. We read in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 3. I'm starting in verse 1. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea, verse 2, saying, "Repent ye, the kingdom of heaven is at hand." When John the Baptist was arrested, Jesus began sharing the same message. We read in Matthew chapter 4, verses 12 to 17. I'm reading Matthew's Gospel, chapter 4, starting in verse 12. Now when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee. Verse 13, and leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the sea coast, in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtalim. Verse 14, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, verse 15, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtalim, by the way of the sea, beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. Verse 16, the people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the region, the shadow of death, light is springing up. Verse 17, from that time Jesus began to preach and say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. You should feel compunction and uneasy about still being Lord of your life, since the kingdom of God is here now. Jesus is Lord, and he is not planning to retire. Jesus said in Mark chapter 13, reading verses 34 to 37. This is Mark's Gospel, chapter 13, starting in verse 34. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants, to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Verse 35. Watch ye therefore, that you know not when the master of the house comes, or even at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning. Verse 36. Lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. Verse 37. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. The word watch in Strong's is number 1127. It comes from another word which means to keep awake. That is to watch literally or figuratively. Be vigilant. Wake. Be watchful. If you are born again, your name can be blotted out of the Lamb's Book of Life. You cannot have life if you're still doing dead works. The saints need to wake up and not fall asleep spiritually. Jesus said in Revelation chapter 3, verses 2 to 6, I'm reading. This is in the book of Revelation chapter 3, starting in verse 2. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Verse 3. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Verse 4. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. Verse 5. He that overcomes, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Verse 6. And he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. The word perfect in Strong's is number 4137. It comes from another word which means to cram, or to level up, or to furnish, to satisfy, to finish, even to accomplish or complete. You need to check that your works are complete now and fully furnished, since the kingdom is already here. There is no excuse. You were sent here with a mission and the grace and strength to do what was needed. God's grace is sufficient for you to complete that work that he planned for your life. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 14 to 17, I'm reading. This is Ephesians chapter 5, starting in verse 14. Wherefore he says, "Awake thou that sleep, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light." Verse 15. "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." Verse 16. "Redeeming the time, because the days are evil." Verse 17. "Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." Wake up to the right way of living by faith, denying yourself and trusting God completely. Start with a right response to conviction and what he wants you to do now, and he will give you some light. In the book, The Supernatural Occurrences of Charles Finney, by Daniel Jennings, on pages 197 and 198, there's a testimony from Charles Finney. "One evening, I preached on confession and restitution, and it created a most tremendous movement among businessmen. One man told me the next day that he had been and made restitution, I think of £1,500, in a case where he thought he had not acted upon the principle of loving his neighbor as himself. The consciences of men under such circumstances are exceedingly tender. The gentleman to whom I have just referred told me that a dear friend of his had died and left him to settle his estate. He had done so and simply received what the law gave him for his labor and expense. But he said that in hearing that sermon, it occurred to him that as a friend and a Christian brother, he could better afford to settle that estate without charging anything than the family could afford to allow him the legal fees. The Spirit of God that was upon him led him to feel it so keenly that he immediately went and refunded the money. Some say that they cannot hear the Lord because they want an excuse to use their minds instead. In practice, those experiencing conviction can hear the Lord clearly. This is proof that they were walking in darkness before coming into the light. In this example, the rich lawyer heard immediately what God wanted him to do in great detail after he responded to conviction. When you embrace truth and conviction, you will also hear God clearly. John said in 3 John chapter 1, I'm reading verses 2 to 4. This is 3 John chapter 1, starting in verse 2. Said, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers." Verse 3, "For I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even that thou walk in the truth." Verse 4, "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth." If Jesus is Lord of your life, you are relying on the Holy Spirit for the truth. Those who see righteousness as absence of committed sin do not always see sin as failing to do the work God has called them to do by faith. Jesus was speaking to his disciples about the work of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said in John chapter 16, I'm reading verses 8 to 13. This is in John's Gospel, chapter 16, and I'm starting in verse 8. "And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment." Verse 9. "Of sin, because they believe not on me." Verse 10. "Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more." Verse 11. "Of judgment, because the prince of the world is judged." Verse 12. "I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now." Verse 13. "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come." The Holy Spirit reproves everyone who is willing to listen. He is the Spirit of truth. There is no exception. Sin is anything contrary to God's perfect will for your life in thought, purpose, or action. Those following him need compunction and conviction to get to the root of sin and help others. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 8 to 10, I'm reading. This is Ephesians chapter 5, starting in verse 8. For ye were sometimes in darkness, but now ye are light in the Lord, walking as children of light. Verse 9. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Verse 10. Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Man was created with a human spirit to hear God clearly. The connection between God and man was lost through sin. Now the Holy Spirit is available if you want to prove what is acceptable to the Lord. There is no excuse for not asking God in every situation and doing what he wants you to do in your personal life. Paul was getting answers using the gift of eternal life. Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, as professed a good profession before many witnesses. If you want to win the battle against the flesh and the devil, use the gift of eternal life. Many are trying to fight the devil on the broad road, but they will never win. Jesus said in John 17 and verse 3, and this is life eternal, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Christianity is not just another religion. It is a relationship with a living God on the narrow way. Eternal life starts now, and it's a life without thinking, listening to God instead. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 to 32, I'm reading. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6. I'm starting in verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for the body, what you shall put on. Is not life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Verse 26, behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much better than they? Verse 27, which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? Verse 28, and why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, how they toil not, neither do they spin. Verse 29, and yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Verse 30, wherefore, if God clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Verse 31, therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewith will we be clothed? Verse 32, for after these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. God sent you here to this planet on a mission to be profitable to him and also to help others. Any mission you embark on that does not originate from God is destined to fail. He's unprofitable for you. It might appear good, but it is not pure. The human nature is incapable of doing something pure because it is contaminated with pride and selfishness. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, I'm reading verses 1 to 8. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I'm starting in verse 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Verse 2, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity, I am nothing. Verse 3, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profits me nothing. Verse 4. Charity suffers long and is kind. Charity envies not. Charity doesn't vaunt itself, and it's not puffed up. Verse 5. Does not behave itself unseemly, seeks not her own, is not easily provoked, and thinks no evil. Verse 6. Rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Verse 7. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Verse 8. Charity never fails, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. In the Amplified Bible, in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 to 7, says this. Love endures long and is patient and kind. Love never is envious, nor boils over with jealousy. Is not boastful or vainglorious, does not display itself haughtily. It is not conceited, arrogant, and inflated with pride. It is not rude and unmannerly, and does not act unbecomingly. Love, God's love in us, does not insist on its own rights or its own way, for it's not self-seeking. It's not touchy or fretful or resentful. It takes no account of the evil done to it. It pays no attention to a suffered wrong. It does not rejoice in injustice and unrighteousness, but rejoices when right and truth prevail. Love bears up under anything and everything that comes, and is ever ready to believe the best of every person. Its hopes are fadeless under all circumstances, and endures everything without weakening. There is nothing good in you and me. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 to 10, I'm reading. This is in the book of Ephesians chapter 2, starting verse 8. For by grace are you saved through faith, that's not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. Verse 9. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Through the gift of eternal life, it's possible to ask God any question. This is a gift available by grace through faith to help you do the works he planned for your life. The gift is not just for a few special people with a high calling on their lives. This gift came in the package of salvation. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. We cannot be ready for his appearing without the help of the Holy Spirit. Do not unseal yourself by rebelling against God. Paul said in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12, wherefore, my beloved, as you've always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Those who are awake are obeying the Holy Spirit, not just following certain doctrines and principles. Believers living in darkness are still using their minds because they don't like conviction. Paul said in Hebrews chapter 5, verses 11 to 14, I'm reading. This is in the book of Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 11, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing you are dull of hearing. Verse 12. For at the time you ought to be teachers, we have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and have become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. Verse 13. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Verse 14. But strong meat belongs to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. The process of conviction will exercise your senses. You'll become more sensitive to the spiritual realm, and through self-denial, you can remove the voices you don't want to hear. just using principles in the Bible, try and understand what is pleasing to God is unskillful, and you'll remain a baby. Maturity comes from a sensitivity to the Holy Spirit to allow your senses to be experience compunction and not be dull of hearing. Paul said in Romans chapter 5, verses 12 to 14, I'm reading. This is in the book of Romans chapter 5. I'm starting in verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed on to all men, for that all have sinned. Verse 13. For unto the law sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Verse 14. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned, after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is a figure of him that was to come. Through Adam's transgression, sin began to reign on the earth. Many more may have ended up in hell and reaping the consequences of a sinful life without the law. Paul said in Romans chapter 3, verses 10 to 19, I'm reading. This is the book of Romans chapter 3, and starting in verse 10. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Verse 11. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeks after God. Verse 11. They are all gone out of their way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that does good. No, not one. Verse 13. Their throat is an open sepulchre. With their tongues they have used deceit, and the poison of asps is under their lips. Verse 14. Whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Verse 15. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Verse 16. Destruction and misery are in their ways. Verse 17. And the way of peace they have not known. Verse 18. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Verse 19. Now we know that what things soever the law says, it says to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Without God's law, there was no awareness of committed sin. And through the law, some Jews repented and realized they needed Christ as Savior and Lord. Paul said in Galatians chapter 3, verses 24 to 26, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. Verse 25, but after that faith is come, we no longer are under a schoolmaster. Verse 26, for we are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Due to Adam's sin, everyone is living with a sin nature that does not seek God or turn to God for answers. However, through Jesus, you can awake to righteousness through conviction and start relying on the promises of God instead. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 34, he said, awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. In the Amplified Bible, 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 34 says, awake from your drunken stupor and return to sober sense and your right minds and sin no more. For some of you have not the knowledge of God. You are utterly and willfully and disgracefully ignorant and continue to be so, lacking the sense of God's presence and all true knowledge of Him. I say this to your shame. Through the cross, you have inherited the glorious gospel that gives you a chance to confess all your sins and learn from your mistakes. This is not a time to sleep, but to wake to true righteousness and learn. We've been given the Holy Spirit. Mankind was destined to hear God and obey Him and live like little children. This is our destiny, and it's been made possible by the Holy Spirit of truth inside of us. Paul said in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 1, O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth, crucified among you? Those called to be salt and light for the rest of the world used the grace of God to pass on the truths they learned so others could also walk with God more consistently. We read in John chapter 1 and verse 17, "For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." The law was not given to everyone. It was given by Moses to the Jews for them to demonstrate how salvation works practically by grace through faith. The Jews were supposed to have a testimony of overcoming sin and the devil, with God providing for them as they put him first. Paul said in Hebrews 11, verses 8 to 10, this is Hebrews chapter 11, I'm starting in verse 8. "By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place where he should after receive for inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing where he was going." Verse 9, "By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, and as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise." Verse 10, "For he looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God." Abraham was not trusting in the works he had done, but looking for that building whose maker was God. He was looking for the new creation, but became an example to us by following Christ. Abraham was an example to the Jews too, but the Jews tried to build something else based on keeping the law without a relationship with God. Paul said in Hebrews chapter 3, verses 1 to 6. This is in Hebrews chapter 3, starting in verse 1. "Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Jesus Christ." Verse 2. "Who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house." Verse 3. "For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath builded the house hath more honor than the house." Verse 4. "For every house is builded by some man, but he that builds all things is God." Verse 5. "And Moses verily was faithful in all his house, as a servant, for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after." Verse 6, "But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end." The calling of the Jews involved building the temple, not another religion. Their mission was to help others get to know and understand God. We read in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 9, verses 23 to 25, I'm reading. This is in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 9. I'm starting in verse 23. "Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches." Verse 24. "But let him that glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, which exercises loving kindness, judgment and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, says the Lord." Verse 25, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will punish all them which are circumcised with the uncircumcised." The temple the Jews built demonstrated that God is holy and man is separated from God through sin. But it was destroyed in AD 70 after Christ died, and his blood removed that barrier between God and man. We read in Matthew chapter 27, verses 50 and 51. This is in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 27, and starting in verse 50. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. Verse 51, "And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in two from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks were rent." Moses himself was faithful because he submitted himself to Christ and by faith obeyed. Under the New Testament, it is now possible by grace through faith for everyone to be a temple of the Holy Spirit. This was always God's plan. But the rest of the Jews, except Joshua and Caleb, perished in the wilderness because of unbelief. The desert was a perfect place to learn faith. Even though the Jews saw the miracles and how Moses talked to God face to face, they did not repent. Paul continued in Hebrews chapter 3, verses 7 to 11. I'm reading. This is Hebrews chapter 3. I'm starting in verse 7. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost says, today if you will hear his voice, verse 8, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness. Verse 9, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Verse 10, wherefore I was grieved with that generation, and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. Verse 11, so I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Those who have turned a relationship with God into another religion did so because they did not want to pay the price to live like Abraham or trust God for their daily needs. Paul said in Galatians chapter 3, verses 7 to 11. This is Galatians chapter 3, starting in verse 7. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. Verse 8. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. Verse 9. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Verse 10. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continues not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Verse 11. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. The plan was for everyone to see the results of repentance and obedience through faith. The law itself was only designed to bring conviction and through sacrifices stop the curses. Before the law came, there are only a few with the faith and diligence necessary to please God, who had their senses trained through conviction. Here are some examples. Paul said in Hebrews 11, verses 5 to 7, I'm reading. This is in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, I'm starting in verse 5. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. Before his translation, he had this testimony, that he pleased God. Verse 6, but without faith it's impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Verse 7, by faith Noah, being warned of God, of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness which is by faith. You were designed to follow Christ, like Abraham, and be a lighthouse for others, directing them onto the narrow path. You cannot direct someone onto the narrow path if you're not following Christ yourself. We read in Mark chapter 1, verses 16 to 18. This is in Mark's Gospel, chapter 1, starting in verse 16. Now as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. Verse 17. And Jesus said unto them, come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. Verse 18. And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. God is now building a temple in you personally, if you let him. Do not deny the fact that through salvation you now belong to God and he owns you. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, I'm reading verses 17 to 20. This is in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, starting in verse 17. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Verse 18. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man does is without the body. But he that commits fornication sins against his own body. Verse 19. What know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and you are not your own? Verse 20. For we are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. As sin increases, those seeking to please God have to swim against the increasing tide of those serving the lust of the flesh and making excuses for sin. Paul said in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, this is Romans chapter 12, starting in verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Those on the narrow way are the temple of the Holy Spirit now. And they are also a living sacrifice for all to see as well. For you to do the perfect will of God, you have to become a living sacrifice, as otherwise you might help God. The mind can only be renewed when you stop using it like you did before. The mind belongs to God. For him to drop his answers there, he has given you his spirit so that you can recognize what thoughts came from God. James said in James chapter 3 and verse 15, this wisdom that doesn't descend from above is earthly, sensual, and devilish. Godly wisdom comes to the body of Christ through those on the narrow way using the precious promises of God. Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. In the Amplified Bible, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 says, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a dedicated nation, God's own purchased special people, that you may set forth the wonderful deeds and display the virtues and perfections of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Live in the light and don't accumulate principles based on Bible knowledge like the Jews. Through the Holy Spirit, you can respond to a heavenly plan. Only the Holy Spirit knows what verse of Scripture to use in any given situation. His deeds and virtues will be clearly displayed in those seeking his perfect will. If you want to experience ongoing forgiveness and cleansing, you have to walk in the light. And that means some conviction as well. John said in 1 John chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. I'm reading 1 John chapter 1. I'm starting in verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Verse 7. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Since the kingdom of God is here now, all things are possible with God. God's righteousness is not achieved by keeping the law, doing good works, or church attendance. You have to get on the narrow way and expect the grace of God for the solutions he provides. Jesus said in Matthew 6, verses 33 and 34. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6. I'm reading verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Verse 34. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. To seek anything other than the kingdom is not pure. Each day has enough trouble in itself that can be overcome by faith in a world contaminated with sin and lust. Paul said in Romans chapter 13, verses 11 to 14, I'm reading. This is in the book of Romans, chapter 13. I'm starting in verse 11. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Verse 12. The night is far spent, and the day is at hand. And let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Verse 13. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, nor in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. Verse 14. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. The armor of light are the things that you have learned from repentance and living in the light. You protect yourself from the same mistake twice by wearing the armor until your whole body is eventually filled with light. It includes honesty and not making any provision for your flesh. You have to stay awake spiritually to not do things in the flesh. Choose the narrow path where the pressures keep you dependent on God and alive to righteousness. Jesus said in Revelation chapter 3, verses 17 to 19. This is in the book of Revelation, chapter 3, and I'm reading verse 17. Because thou sayest, I am rich, and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, and miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked. Verse 18. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness does not appear, and anoint thy eyes with eye salver, that thou may see. Verse 19. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore, and repent. The kingdom of God has been here on this earth for nearly 2,000 years to assist anyone who wants to know the truth by being led by the Spirit. Do not deceive yourself with any religious duties or practice. Everyone still has to keep the commandments of Jesus. Stop using your mind trying to understand the things of God, or you'll end up being religious instead. Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. I'm reading 2 Peter chapter 1, and I'm starting in verse 3. According as the divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. Verse 4. Whereby are given unto us exceedingly great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in this world through lust. The precious promises are for those trusting God on the narrow way to overcome sin and this world. We are the new creation in Christ, and through us the world may believe that the kingdom of God is here now and enter before it's too late. The Jews did not believe by seeing miracles. We read in Matthew 11, verses 20, and I'm reading to verse 24. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11, I'm starting in verse 20. Then began he to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. Verse 21. Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. Verse 22. I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. Verse 23. And thou, Capernaum, which are exalted unto heaven, shall thou be brought down to hell? For if thy mighty works which have been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained unto this day. Verse 24. But I say unto you, that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. Jesus' miracles confirmed his message, but the people did not repent. Even today, the church is seeking miracles rather than the kingdom of God. Some are waiting on God to heal them first, rather than trying to enter the kingdom now. Many are happy to call Jesus Lord and believe they have a relationship with Jesus without being yoked to him. We read in Matthew 11, verses 25 to 30. This is Matthew 11. I'm starting in verse 25. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Verse 26. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. Verse 27. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knows the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomever the Son will reveal him. Verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Verse 29. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. Verse 30. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. The comfortable Christian is prepared to make a few adjustments, but they're not willing to be a living sacrifice. You can only overcome sin by denying yourself and by hearing his voice. The flesh cannot please God. Paul said in Galatians 5 and 16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. When you walk in the Spirit, you will not sin. If you are born again and still do your own will, you will sin, and the wages of sin is death. John said in 1 John chapter 3, verses 7 and 8, I'm reading 1 John chapter 3, I'm starting in verse 7. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that does righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. Verse 8. And he that commits sin is of the devil, for the devil sinned from the beginning. And for this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. If you are still sinning, then you are serving the devil, and Jesus is not your Lord. Jesus came to set you free. Jesus said in John 8, verses 31 to 34. This is John's Gospel, chapter 8, and verse 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. Verse 32. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Verse 33. They answered him and said, we are Abraham's seed. We've never been in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Verse 34. And Jesus answered and said them, verily I say unto you, whosoever commits sin is the servant of sin. If you are trapped, make the changes that he directs and be a doer of the word first. This is the only way to know the truth. The psalmist said in Psalm 119 and verse 60, the sum of thy word is truth, and every one of thy righteous judgments endures forever. Only God sees the end from the beginning. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 2, where in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. We were all trapped at one time. Do not deceive yourself. God is not the problem, or the devil. James says in James chapter 1, verses 14 to 18, I'm reading. This is James chapter 1. I'm starting in verse 14. But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Verse 15. Then when lust is conceived, it brings forth sin, and sin, when it's finished, brings forth death. Verse 16. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Verse 18. Of his own he begat us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. You are tempted and eventually sin after you are first drawn away by the lust of your own flesh. The devil can only feed the desires of the flesh if you let him. God provides what you need every day through the leading of the Holy Spirit. This was a mystery, but the plan from the beginning was for God to do everything by his Spirit. We read in Romans chapter 8 and verse 4. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. When Jesus came, he fulfilled the law. So all you have to do now is follow Christ and abide in his word that he gives you personally. There is a liberty in Christ, but this is not a liberty to do what you want. The Holy Spirit sets the boundaries he has for your life. James said in James chapter 1 and verse 25, I'm reading James chapter 1 and verse 25. But whosoever looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. The perfect law of liberty is just two rules. Number one, whatever the Holy Spirit tells you to do, do it. Number two, whatever the Holy Spirit tells you not to do, do not do it. These two rules are easy to remember. The specific commands come by the Spirit, so you need to record them. It is best to use a notebook to record the liberty you have in Christ, as otherwise you might forget what he requires of you personally. Actually, it's not easy to forget anything when you walk with him. Jesus said in John 14 and verse 26, But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. If you do forget Jesus' commands, he will remind you when you are in the Spirit. If you are in the flesh, all you will hear is, Repent, repent, on the emergency channel. Paul said in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 10, And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. You need to dig deeper. When you miss God's perfect plan, and by grace, he will show you the condition of your heart. Paul said in Hebrews chapter 3, in verses 12 to 14, I'm reading Hebrews chapter 3, and I'm starting in verse 12. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Verse 13. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Verse 14. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. We serve a living God. He is not sleeping. He is awake. You are supposed to wake up yourself to a new way of living like Christ and not seek anything for yourself. Jesus said in John chapter 5 and verse 30. I'm reading John's Gospel chapter 5. I'm reading verse 30. I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. In the Amplified Bible, John 5:30 says, I'm able to do nothing from myself independently of my own accord, but only as I'm taught by God and as I get his orders. Even as I hear, I judge, and I decide as I'm bidden to decide. As the voice comes to me, so I give a decision. And my judgment is right and just, righteous, because I do not seek or consult my own will. I have no desire to do what is pleasing to myself, my own aim, my own purpose, but only the will and pleasure of the Father who sent me. Jesus is the new man that you are supposed to put on willingly and rely on the gift of eternal life. Peter said in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 20 to 24. This is Ephesians chapter 4. I'm starting in verse 20. But ye have not so learned Christ. Verse 21. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. Verse 22. That you put off concerning the former conversations the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. Verse 23. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Verse 24. And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. In the Amplified Bible, Ephesians 4:21 to 24 says, if in fact you have really heard him and have been taught by him, just as truth is in Jesus, revealed in his life and personified in him, that regarding your previous way of life, you put off your old self, completely disregard your former nature, which is being corrupted through deceitful desires, and be continually renewed in the spirit of your mind, having a fresh, untarnished mental and spiritual attitude, and put on the new self, the regenerated and renewed nature, created in God's image, godlike in the righteousness and holiness of the truth, living in a way that expresses to God your gratitude for salvation. Have you learned Christ by doing these things? Number one, being taught by him directly through the Holy Spirit. Number two, following the example of Jesus through the Gospels. Number three, putting off your former behavior, which is contaminated with lust. Number four, being renewed in your mind through conviction and repentance. Number five, having a proper mental and spiritual attitude to obey him, whatever the cost. Number six, putting on the new nature described in John 5:30. Number seven, relying on the precious promises for your daily life. So many are trying to learn Christ with Bible knowledge using their unrenewed minds. And these same people are accepted into Bible school to be leaders in the body of Christ. Bible school is the true enemy of the church today. If you are still yielding to the flesh, then you have not put on the new man. Paul said in Romans chapter 6, and verse 18, this is Romans chapter 6, I'm reading verse 18. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. By grace, you will experience freedom from sin after salvation through the gift of eternal life. This gives you a taste, but there is more if you kill the flesh and keep it dead. Paul uses a natural illustration because the church was still carnal. We read in Romans chapter 6 and verse 19. This is Romans chapter 6. I'm reading verse 19. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as you've yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. The fruit of righteousness is holiness. If you're not holy, then you are deceiving yourself. You cannot have righteousness without following these instructions. You have to yield all your members to God in the new man. If you have yielded to the flesh by listening to how you feel, you will sin. This will explain why you cannot yield to the Spirit. For example, if you yield your emotions to God and let the Spirit direct them, you will be righteous. If you let your emotions dictate, then you'll be unrighteous and your emotions will control you even more. It's just a change of direction. Everything works properly when He is in control. Some yield to the Holy Spirit for a short time and then go back to the flesh. If you do, then you will start sinning again. Paul said in Romans chapter 10, verses 1 to 4, this is in the book of Romans chapter 10. I'm starting in verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God is for Israel, that they might be saved. Verse 2. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. Verse 3. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Verse 4. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. The word end in Strong's is number 5056. It comes from a primary word which means to set out, to limit, to conclude, or terminate, figuratively or indefinitely. Do you believe that Jesus is the fulfillment of the law? Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verses 17 and 18. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5. I'm reading verse 17. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Verse 18. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till it all be fulfilled. Jesus came to fulfill the law and would never tell us to do something that is contrary to the law. Actually, Jesus wrote the law and fulfilled it. If you believe this, you will stop trying to be righteous through keeping the law and just keep His commandments instead. The greater includes the lesser. By grace through faith, you will have the righteousness that God provides through a personal relationship with Jesus. Jesus said in John 14 and verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you claim you are living by faith and still use your own mind, you are deceiving yourself. The devil gets access through the flesh. Jesus said in John 10 and verse 10, the thief comes not but to steal, to kill and destroy. I am come that you might have life and you might have it more abundantly. Those following Jesus and learning the lessons of faith, trusting God, feel safe and live an abundant life. Do you believe that Jesus came to give you abundant life by following Him? If you do, you will follow Jesus. Jesus said to the Jews in John 10, 26 and 27. This is in John's Gospel, chapter 10, starting in verse 26. But ye believe not, because you are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. Verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. The flesh cannot obey God. Those who are carnal do not believe that Jesus came to bring life through His commands. We read in John 14, verses 5 and 6. This is in John's Gospel, chapter 14, I'm reading verse 5. Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not where thou goest, and how can we know the way? Verse 6. And Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes unto the Father but by me. The fruit of believing is that you're able to hear His voice, get to know and follow Him. Those who are really His sheep have ears to hear because they believe God loves them. The commandments of Jesus are not part of some closed religious order. Jesus is giving His commands personally out of love so that you can be righteous and live in His kingdom where the devil has no access. Jesus said in John 10 and verse 11, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. On the cross, Jesus died for all mankind to pay the price for us to have the forgiveness of sins and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The kingdom of God has been here now for 2,000 years. Each generation has experienced his grace and had the chance to seek God and please him by faith. Those who repent have stopped thinking and rely on hearing God instead. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 23, I'm reading verses 25 to 33. This is in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 23, I'm starting in verse 25. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Verse 26, thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Verse 27, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Verse 28, even so you also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within you are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Verse 29, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you build the tombs of the prophets and garnish the sepulchres of the righteous. Verse 30, and say, if we have been in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Verse 31, wherefore ye be witnesses unto yourselves that ye are children of them which killed the prophets. Verse 32, fill ye up then the measure of your fathers. Verse 33, you serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can ye escape the damnation of hell? The modern church prefers someone that is smartly dressed and looks good with just outward righteousness. If you put outward righteousness before inward righteousness, then you are on a road leading to your own destruction. You will never have the inward righteousness of the kingdom without trusting God and following his paths of righteousness for you personally. Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 17 and 18, for the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begun at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? Verse 18, and if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and sinner appear? There are many things that are not part of the narrow way that was stopped in churches everywhere during this current pandemic. Judgment has started in the house of the Lord already. For those who are hungry and seeking his perfect will, this current crisis is not an issue because they do not want a religion. They are seeking a relationship with the living God through obedience to the Spirit. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 20, for I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no case enter the kingdom of heaven. We need righteousness to enter the kingdom of God now. If you have the right kind of righteousness, you will enter. If you do not have the right kind or right amount, you will not enter. The door is about to be closed. Jesus said in Luke 13, verses 24 to 27, I'm reading. This is in Luke's Gospel, chapter 13. I'm starting in verse 24. Strive to enter in at the strait gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. Verse 25. When once the master of the house is risen up and has shut to the door, and you begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not from whence you are. Verse 26, then shall you begin to say, we have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. Verse 27, but he shall say, I tell you, I know you not from whence you are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. You can enter any time if you are willing to pay the price and get on the narrow way. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verses 22 and 23. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7. I'm starting in verse 22. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? Verse 23. And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. The carnal church just wants someone with the gifts of the Spirit and not too much fruit. They do not care if the person is compromising on truth, as otherwise the congregation will be convicted. A church will easily support someone who can make the crowd laugh and make everyone feel comfortable. We read in Matthew 11, verses 7 to 10. This is in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11. I'm starting in verse 7. And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John, What went out you into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? Verse 8. But what went you out to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. Verse 9. But what went out you to see? A prophet. Yea, I say unto you, more than a prophet. Verse 10. For this is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. John was directed by the Lord to prepare the way for Jesus. He knew his appearance and even the food he was eating had to be right to call the Jews to repentance, especially the leaders. John was not seeking sponsorship or financial support, as otherwise his messages would have been compromised later. His messages were designed to bring people to repentance and conviction. We read in Matthew chapter 3 and verse 4, And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair, a leather girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. John was more than a prophet, because he was not just bringing a message, but an example of obedience to the Spirit. God sent you here for a purpose too. And if you try to tell people about the kingdom, they will not listen when they do not see the evidence that you have made him Lord by the way you dress or by the size of your stomach. John was not a hypocrite, and he was using what he had been given by the grace of God and made no excuses. Even the people recognized that John's message was pure, but the leaders were blind because they were serving the devil. We read in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 21, I'm reading verses 23 to 32. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 21. I'm starting in verse 23. And when he was come into the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came unto him as he was teaching and said, By what authority dost thou do these things? And who gave you this authority? Verse 24. And Jesus answered and said to them, I also will ask you one thing, which if you tell me, I in likewise will tell you by what authority I do these things. Verse 25. The baptism of John, whence did it come from, heaven or of men? And they reasoned within themselves, saying, If we say from heaven, he will say unto us, Why did you not believe him? Verse 26. But if we should say of men, We fear the people, for all hold John as a prophet. Verse 27. And they answered Jesus and said, We cannot tell. And he said to them, Neither tell I you by what authority I do these things. Verse 28. But what think ye? A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, Son, go work today in my vineyard. Verse 29. He answered and said, I will not, but afterwards he repented and went. Verse 30. And he came to the second and said, Likewise, and he answered and said, I go, sir, and went not. Verse 31. Which of these two did the will of him, his father? And they said unto him, the first. And Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. Verse 32, for John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and you believed him not, but the publicans and harlots believed him. And ye, when ye have seen it, repented not afterwards, that ye might believe him. Righteousness is something you need now to enter the kingdom before it's too late. Jesus made it clear that if you do not enter soon, you will be left outside. This could be when Jesus appears or when you die, whichever comes sooner. The Spirit coming inside of you is not the evidence that you have entered the kingdom. Jesus was speaking to Nicodemus. We read in John chapter 3. I'm reading verses 3 to 8. This is John chapter 3 and verse 3. And Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Verse 4, Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he's old? How can he enter the second time into his mother womb and be born? Verse 5, Jesus answered him, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Verse 6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Verse 7, marvel not that I say unto thee, you must be born again. Verse 8, the wind blows where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but cannot tell from whence it comes and where it goes. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. The Spirit came upon King Saul, but he lost the kingdom to David. It's not enough to be born again to enter the kingdom of God. John the Baptist said in Matthew chapter 3, verses 8 to 10, I'm reading. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 3. I'm starting verse 8. Bring forth therefore the fruits meet for repentance. Verse 9. And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you, that God is able to make these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. Verse 10. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore every tree that brings not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Those who want to do what they want to do easily accept false doctrines about just being born again. In the book, The Gilded Prison, revised edition by Joseph Hedgecock. In chapter 6, on page 55, Joseph Hedgecock writes, your lordship is rooted in the fallen, sinful nature. In your lordship, you decide what is right or wrong from your natural mind. Adam and Eve received the sin nature when they rebelled against God's authority. Instead of obeying God's command not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they decided to do what they wanted. They listened to Satan instead of God. Pride entered into their hearts at that moment. Since that time, pride has continued to separate every person from God. The only way to live in the Spirit and completely destroy your flesh is to continuously deny your lordship and submit to Jesus Christ instead. Jesus' lordship produces righteousness and fellowship with God. Your pride and lordship lead to sin and spiritual death. When you are Lord of your life, Satan can take you captive at any time. You cannot be free from his captivity if you are Lord. It's only when you deny your lordship and yield to Jesus Christ that the devil's guards can be eliminated. Do not deceive yourself. Only the narrow way leads to life. If you are not on the narrow way, you cannot help anyone else. Jesus explained in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 to 17. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7. I'm starting verse 13. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And many there be which go in that way. Verse 14, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leads unto life, and few there be that find it. Verse 15, beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Verse 16, you shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns, or figs of thistles? Verse 17, even so every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. People in church today want a false prophet who will say that you can be saved even if you have no fruit and still use your mind to make decisions and do what you want. Paul said in Romans chapter 6, verses 21 to 23, I'm reading. This is Romans chapter 6, starting in verse 21. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. Verse 22. But now being made free from sin and become the servants of God, ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end everlasting life. Verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Some are trusting in the finished work of Christ, and yet they have no fruit, showing that they are led by the Spirit or living on the narrow way. Time is running out. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verses 19 to 21. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7. I'm starting verse 19. Every tree that brings not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Verse 20. Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them. Verse 21. Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father, which is in heaven. The church doesn't want to hear that someone with the wrong kind of fruit will be cast into the fire. They do not want to hear about the narrow way, or that you have to lose your natural freedom to be saved. Jesus said in Luke 9, verses 24 and 25. This is Luke's Gospel, chapter 9, starting in verse 24. Whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. Verse 25. What is a man advantage if he gain the whole world and lose himself, or be a castaway? You will lose natural freedom to follow Christ, but this is the only way to be saved. Following Christ, you will be devil-free and get access to the kingdom to complete your calling by faith. Even the angels will assist you to make sure that God's perfect will is done. David describes the narrow way that leads to life. David said in the Psalms, this is Psalms 23, verses 1 to 5 I'm reading. This is Psalm 23, starting in verse 1. A psalm of David, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Verse 2, he makes me to lie down in green pastures, he leads me beside the still waters. Verse 3, he restores my soul, he leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Verse 4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. And thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Verse 5. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies, and thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Those on the Broadway have listened to the devil offering a freedom that says you can do whatever you want and still not die. Paul said in Romans chapter 8, verses 13 to 15, I'm reading. This is Romans chapter 8, starting in verse 13. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Verse 15. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Now through the gift of eternal life and the ability to hear God, you can be righteous by asking God everything beforehand. so that you know that what you're doing is righteous. He is our Father in heaven and will provide for your daily needs. We do not have to live in fear and use our minds. Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7, "For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." If you want to hear, get to know, and follow Jesus, then I can recommend the book, My Sheep Hear My Voice by Joseph Hedgecock. If you want to make a fresh start and get on the narrow path, sow in the Spirit daily, experience full salvation and freedom from sin through regular repentance, then I can recommend the book, Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations for Spiritual Maturity by Joseph Hedgecock. Do not accept a counterfeit version of Christianity based on religious dead works where you do not have to deny yourself daily and trust God. If you know that you have resisted the truth at any time and want to know why, then I can recommend the book The Guilted Prison Revised Edition by Joseph Hedgecock. This message today is about waking up. And everything you've heard is not about just waking up to the news and issues that we see around us. I'm talking to those who have a heart after God, who want to know Him, who want to have a righteousness that is not based on any rules or regulations or boundaries set by men. I'm speaking to those who want to have the righteousness of God by the Spirit. You must be born again. You must make Him Lord of your life. Accept the narrow way. And if you allow Him to direct you and control you, you will surely have the righteousness that God wants you to have. Wake up to a life led by the Spirit. Many are afraid to walk this way because of the fear of suffering or difficulties or hardships. But as you search the Scriptures, you will discover that God has planned an abundant life for you. And my prayer is right now that you will awake to that righteousness. You will not shy away from the dangers and difficulties that may be ahead of you, but instead, go through those things with the Lord and He will be with you, even as you go through the valley of the shadow of death. The Father will be with you and Jesus will be with you. Let me pray for you right now. Heavenly Father, for those who want to be who they're supposed to be, Father, I'm praying for them. They may not have to go through great trials and difficulties, but you know. And Father, I commit them to you and asking that they will truly accept this way of living, trusting you, letting go, and letting you decide what they are to do each day. Father, I pray for them in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You can find a summary of the scriptures used in today's message below the video, either written out or in a link to a website. Our contact details will follow at the end of this message. God bless you.